Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us this morning. We pray you speak to us and that you would set people free. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were to go to seminary to get a degree, one of the classes you would take would be a class in theology. Theology is the study of God. Theo is a Greek word for God. Ology is the study of, like biology, endocrinology, footology. And so you would take a class in the study of God. You would study different attributes of God. You would study about Jesus Christ, the identity of Christ, blah, 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 blah. When the slaves were brought here from Africa, they were brought here on ships and were enslaved by Christians. And when they were taught that the Bible teaches that it was okay to be slaves, they didn't feel that that was true or could be true based on the way they were being treated. And so they started to study the Bible for hope and peace. And they came up with a term called black theology. Conventional theology says the study of God. Black theology is the study of God as it pertains to the deliverance of oppressed people. The study of God as it pertains to the deliverance of oppressed people. What's ironic about that definition is that the whole Bible is a story of the deliverance of oppressed people. God has given us the Bible to tell us his story on how he is going to deliver people from the bondage of sin. So the oppressed people thing is not unique to black slaves. It's unique to all humans. That is the Bible story. And whenever you read the Bible, you must understand you are reading a story that God has given us to explain to us how he is going to deliver us and how he wants to deliver us from the oppression of sin. One of the most vivid examples of that is the story found in Exodus, where he sets free slaves from bondage, the Israelites, who were in bondage to Africans. It's kind of reversed, the bondage to Africans. And he delivers them supernaturally from slavery. That story is a microcosm of what the whole Bible is about. And so as you read the Bible, you must understand you're always reading a piece of this bigger story of God unfolding his plan of deliverance or redemption. Now, what we're going to look at in the map, we're going to get a little review from where we're at, where we've been studying the last month on Moses. Now, if you look top left, you see Moses was 40 years in Egypt. Then at the bottom, he spent 40 years in the wilderness. He had a conversation with fire. Everyone say fire. And the fire was talking. It was God himself. God told Moses to take off his shoes. And he said, Moses, I'm going to send you back to Pharaoh. And Moses had five excuses why he didn't want to go back to Pharaoh. They all started with the word letter I. Remember the first one, he was insecure. God, who am I? Then the next one was, God, who are you? He was ignorant. Then he says, God, what if they don't believe me? He felt like he didn't have any credibility. He was incredible. Then he says, I have no ability. He focused on his inabilities. And lastly, Moses says, I ain't going. He was insubordinate. So God sent Aaron, his brother, and said, your brother Aaron's going. He's going to go with you. And so today we're going to see Moses is going to go back to Egypt. He's going to walk all the way back up to the top. And he's going to go deal with Pharaoh. First thing we have to keep in mind is that deliverance, there's five components of deliverance. Now, you have to understand something. When God promises to deliver us and when God starts to unfold his plan of deliverance, every single one of us has a responsibility in it. It's not something God just does and we just get it. There is something you need to do. There was a role in this drama for you. You have a responsibility. God has given you a free will. You can reject God's plan or you can accept God's plan. Most of us accept God's plan on our terms. That means rejecting God's plan. You have to accept the plan on his terms all the time. It's not a democracy. It's a theocracy. God is in charge. Period. You're never in charge. We think we are, we're not, okay? So the first point you have to understand is that deliverance is based on God's faithful promises. Deliverance is not based on your ability, your money, your intelligence, your education, your good looks, your daddy's good looks, or your mother's good looks, I should say. It is based on God's promises. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, let's read what God's promises are. It says, "Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Everyone say, "I will." "I will rescue you from their bondage." Say, "I will." "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment." Say, "I will." "I will take you as my people." Say, "I will." "I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, who will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Say, "I will." "I will bring you into a land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Say, "I will." "I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." Over and over and over again, we will read for the next year, for years, God reaffirm, clarify his promise. This is all based on God's promise. You accepting Christ as your Savior, receiving forgiveness, having your mind renewed, having your sin gone, having your whole life transformed to honor and glorify God is all based on God's promise. So therefore, you must trust God's faithfulness to keep his promises. It's not about God saying, be a good Christian and you just gritting it out. It's about you trusting him and relying on his promise. He told these guys, listen, I made a promise to Abraham, to his son Isaac, to his son Jacob. And then and Jacob had 12 sons. One was Joseph. He went to Egypt. That's why you're in Egypt. It's all about that promise, y'all. So he's continuing to remind them it's the same God with the same promise to give them their own land. God has made a promise to you to never leave you or forsake you, to renew your mind, to take out your heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. He's made a promise to cleanse you of your unrighteousness, to never tempt you beyond what you can take. He's made a promise. Those promises are still hold strong today. The question is, do you trust them? Do you walk in them? What does that mean? Do you conduct your life relying that God is going to be faithful? Or are you waiting for him to be faithful first? Well, one, he's already been faithful. He died on the cross, rose from the dead. He's letting you be alive to listen to this sermon. But some of us want future faithfulness. We want all our retirement in the bank before we do anything financially. We want all the guarantee we're never going to get fired from our job. We want a guarantee. No, sorry. It doesn't have that way. The Bible says the just shall walk by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God says, trust me. Trust me. I made a promise. There's enough in here. Just trust me. Your next point, deliverance provides us with an opportunity to celebrate God. Deliverance provides you with an opportunity to celebrate God. And over the word celebrate, you could write the word worship. It gives you an opportunity to celebrate God. God is going to deliver you from your sin and the bondage of your past life, the bondage of addiction, the bondage of depression. Matter of fact, I saw it the other day. There's a new depression, not a new, it was a new study that shows this one depression medicine that they give teenagers. There's a warning. It could cause suicide. Yeah. You take this depression medicine. We have to be careful. When you take this depression medicine, it could increase the incident of suicide in the kids you give it to. Wait. It's depression medicine. It's supposed to make me happy. Now, I'm not saying depression medicine is wrong, but I'm telling you, there's a better doctor than that. It's God. And I'm not saying don't take the medicine. But, when we trust man, it is well, maybe so, maybe no. When you trust God, all the promises are yes in Jesus Christ. God made a promise to you. And when he sets you free so you could celebrate God. God is not going to forgive you of your sin. God is not going to cleanse your mind just so you can enjoy the beach. Just so you can get more money. I know there's some churches that go to you, trust God and give all your money and God will bless you tenfold and you're going to be rich. Don't believe that. Now, God will honor your giving, but you're not necessarily going to be rich. But he will honor your giving. He's going to honor everything you do. But don't believe that if I do this, I'm going to get this, and all these things are going to make me happy, because things will never make you happy. The only thing that makes you happy is to know and experience God. God doesn't want you to know about him. He wants you to know him. And there is a big difference. Remember when you heard about your wife? And maybe you heard about it before you met her. Maybe somebody else just saw in the corner and went up to her and talked to her. I don't know. But you hear about somebody, then you meet him and you spend time with him. The more you spend time with him, the more you know him, Then you get married, and you're married 10, 20. I just had my 20-year anniversary. And then you go 30 years, and then you go 40 years. You start to think alike. You start to say the same things. You start to feel the same things at the same time. Amen? You become one with that person. God wants you to know him like that. I went on a 40-day fast. I think it was 1992. Something like that. And day 30, I bought a juicer because I was going on a trip. I had to go speak. So I was going on a 10-day travel around, speak at these different places for 10 days. And so I was my day 30 to 40, I was going to be on the road. So I bought this juicer. I was so excited. I got this juicer, and I was going to eat real fruit, real vegetables, and juice them. And I was going to be, I was all skinny. I had lost all the, I looked like, just skin and bones. And my wife wouldn't come near me and all this stuff. And so I said, I'm going to juice and make vegetables a juicer. I'm going to, instead of a fruit juicy, I'm going to make a vegetable juicy. So I got all these vegetables. I got onions, beets, garlic, celery, tomatoes. I have one of those compulsive, passionate personalities. So I cut an onion. I caught a quarter of an onion, put it in there, put beets in there, put garlic in there. I was just like, what was I thinking? I drank this stuff, and I am not exaggerating. Within 60 seconds, my body was like, whoop! My wife's watching me do this because she sometimes, I just get crazy. She just stands back, and she just goes, you might want to be careful. Oh, no, this is good. She's like, oh, okay. Do you have any idea what you're putting in there? It's one thing to look at an onion, and it's another thing to bite the onion. If I showed you an onion, I know that's an onion. No, you don't know this onion until you bite it. Well, I put all these vegetables in this thing, and I started drinking it. And I don't want to exaggerate, but I kind of believe that what happened before I finished drinking it. But I'm going to give truth the benefit of the doubt. But it was a minute. It wasn't longer than a minute that my heart started racing. I started sweating all over. And I was like, uh-oh, what did I do? My body was like, uh-oh. I was fine, I think. I ended up being okay. My point is this. I knew those vegetables like I never did before. I experienced. God wants to set you free from your sin so you can know him. So he can change the source of your joy, the source of your wisdom, of your power. See, Christianity is like, I go to church, I do some rules. No. It's about knowing a person, Jesus Christ. And so he wants to deliver you so you can experience him and celebrate him. Things are not the source of happiness. They're very, very temporary. If you remember, I can pretty much confidently say all of us in here have not been rich, because I haven't, so that means all of us have not been. But I bet you there's a few of you out there who've never been rich before. Say amen if that's you. Amen. Amen. But I know for sure, I got to believe that all of us in here has wanted something really bad that we thought would make us happy, and then when we got it, it didn't. Amen? That's the equivalent. Okay, because some of us think if I get a lot of money, I'll be happy. So just dumb that down to if I get this person to be my friend, or if I get this bicycle, if I get this G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip, whatever it is, if I get that thing, I'm going to be happy. You got that thing, and it was like, and then one day you didn't want that thing anymore. Or one day that thing that betrayed you. You got a dog, you love a dog, and then one day it bit you. You got a girlfriend, and one day she did worse than bit you. A boyfriend, too, for that matter. I don't want to be, I'm an equal opportunity person. Those things don't happen. Those things don't please you. What pleases is that God wants to set you free so you can know him. That's what he said. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Moses went to Aaron and went in to told Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go that they may feast to me in the wilderness. That was the purpose, that they may have a feast, a sacrifice, worship me, know me, follow me, be my people. The reason you hold the Bible in your hand, the reason you go to church, and the reason you pray is so you can have a relationship with God, not so you can belong to an organization. Now, part of having a relationship with God is not part of. The essence of having a relationship with God is being in obedience to God. It's worshiping God, responding to his majesty, and doing what he says. And this is why he has delivered us, to have a relationship with him, and then to share that relationship with other people. The whole reason we're buying this building is so we can share this concept of having a relationship with Christ with millions of people. Millions. Millions. That's why. It's not so we can just have a bigger place to meet in. We're going to wear that building out. Look at your notes. Deliverance must be viewed as something worth fighting for. God delivering you from the bondage of your sin must be viewed as something worth fighting for. What does that mean? Is that don't think once I get saved, everything's going to be fine. Because that is not true. Now, spiritually, yes. You're going to be forgiven. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to have an eternal relationship with God. Yes, that's true. But will your circumstances in your life and your problems all go away? Absolutely not. And you have to understand that. Because people get disillusioned. They get saved and all this bad stuff starts to happen to them. And they go, what happened to God? Well, let me show you. You need to know this. You need to really want it. Think of one thing in your life that really was worth having that you really didn't go after. And if you really didn't go after it, you really didn't want it. Same thing with God. Yeah, you can just pray a prayer and God forgive you. If you're sincere, you're forgiven. But that's only the beginning. There's so many more spiritual riches and blessings to receive. And I'm not talking about monetary necessarily. I'm talking about spiritual. Peace, joy, happiness, patience, self-control. All of that, freedom from the snares of the world of trying to live up to this Jones, have a bigger house, bigger car. Man, imagine if you didn't have to live with any of that pressure. You could just walk with God and what he gives you, which is always going to be better than what you can get on your own. It's fine. And if you want to buy a big house and he wants to give you a condo, that you could be more happy in the condo than the big house. Because it doesn't matter. It's all about your relationship with God and your inner peace. And you have to be willing to fight for that. What does that mean? You have to be willing to sacrifice. Hey, giving money is a sacrifice. Everybody knows that. God knows that. What? There's no mystery to how I don't want to give my money. Nobody wants to give up their money. But all the money you got is God's money, honey. He's giving you 100%. He only wants back 10 as a tithe. He's let you have 90%. To me, that's a great deal. And then he says, you know what? I want you to give a little more. And you're like, huh? Why? Well, one, I'm going to teach you something about faith. Two, I got work over here to do. Three, it's my money. Two, I'm going to bless you, but you got to trust me because I'm not going to tell you what the blessing is until after you do it. That's how it works. I don't like that. Well, that's how it works. But you have to be willing to fight. You have to be willing to make sacrifice. Look at what it says. The Jews are slaves. They're making bricks. And Pharaoh is going to turn on them and make their life miserable. Look what it says in verse 2. I'm going to have you underline some stuff, by the way. So get your pen ready in the Bible. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey the voice of and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. He said, who is this Jesus person? I don't care about that. That's what your friends are going to say. You're a Christian? Please. Verse 3. So they said, the God of the Hebrews has met us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with the sword. The king of Egypt said to Moses, said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to work. And labor. And Pharaoh said, look, the people in the land are many. Make them, and you make them rest from their labor. Verse 6, the same day, everyone write, underline the same day, and say, same day. Sorry, I make you underline and speak at the same time. Say, same day. The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and the officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. Underline, gather straw for themselves. Make them get their own straw. And you shall lay on them the same quota of bricks which they made before, and you shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, let us go and sacrifice to God. Verse 9, let more work, underline more work, let more work be laid on them that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. The taskmasters of the people in the offices went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Underline, not give you straw. Go get yourselves straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be reduced. So the people were scattered all throughout Egypt to gather straw, and the taskmasters forced them to hurry. Underline, forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your quota, your daily quota, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten, underlined, beaten, and were asked, why do you not fulfill your task in making brick both yesterday and today? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, underlined, cried out. They cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing with us this way? And verse 16, there is no straw given to your servants, and they say, make brick, and indeed your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people, Pharaoh. But he says, you are idle, you are idle. Therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 18, go now and work, for no straw shall be given to you, yet you shall deliver the same quota. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your quota. Verse 20, then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. And they said to Moses and Aaron, let the Lord look on you and judge you, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hands to kill us. You got the story? Basically, Moses and Aaron say, let the people go. Moses says, please, take their straw away and make their life difficult. They ain't going anywhere. And the Jews come and say, please stop doing this way. Listen, the only reason I'm doing this is because you're talking about some God delivering you. You ain't getting no relief. I know it's a double negative, but you ain't getting no relief. And they left, and as they're walking out, they see Moses and Aaron. Why'd y'all do this to us? Were they going to fight for it or not? Let me tell you something. You accept Christ, you commit to doing something for God, you think the devil's going to stand around and leave you alone? There's an article coming out in a publication. I'll let you know what the publication is. Getting on me because of my stance on homosexuality. I'm like, it's about time. You should expect that. This is a spiritual battle. You can't just, oh, God, protect me, nothing's going to happen. Let me tell you something. Don't believe that. Something's going to happen to you anyway. Stuff's going to happen to you anyway, right? You might as well have God on your side, because God is going to be your power, your strength. And so here, what are these people going to do? Are they going to back down and say, no, we just want to be good old slaves. We don't want to go out because we don't want to ruffle feathers. I mean, when you accept Christ, God is saying, I want to change your life. I want to change your life. And guess what? Everything's negotiable. Don't come to God with conditions. Come to God with your heart. Say, here I am, God. I trust you are a God who blesses. I trust you are a God who can do anything you want to do. I trust you. And I trust you love me, because you haven't struck me dead all these years that I've been turning my back to you. I trust you, God. The only way we're going to get that building is if God does something supernatural. That's a fact. Now, he's going to do it through people. But he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And the only way we're going to fulfill our mission is if God does something supernatural. And so we walk in the supernatural, trusting God for the supernatural, pursuing the supernatural. We are not pursuing, as a leadership of this church, to do something we can do. That's not faith. We are pursuing what we believe God has called us to do, and what he's called us to do is something we can't do. There's no other reason to be a Christian if you're going to walk in the natural. You don't need God for the natural. You need God for the supernatural. Look in your notes. Deliverance forces us to get in step with God's plan. God's ways are not our ways. Say it with me. Everyone say, God's ways are not my ways. One more time, God's ways are not my ways. When you start to try to do something and God, all of a sudden these circumstances just get in your way and God and you don't understand why things are going wrong or God, why God's doing this, we always blame God for everything, but this is happening, just always remind yourself, I don't do things like you. God doesn't do things like you. God is smarter than all of us. Amen? He's smarter than all of us combined. Amen? He is. Now, we don't believe that. We say amen, but we really don't believe that because every now and then we complain. It's like, God, I think I got a better way. God, you really don't know what I know. Now, let's think about this. Moses is 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the desert. He's 80 years old. The fire talks to him, and God says, Moses, go back. And Moses, I can't. You know, I can't speak. I don't know who you are. I don't know who I am. They're not going to believe me. But God says, no, Moses, I'm going to take care of everything, Moses. This is going to be great. Go ahead. All right, I'll go with my brother. He goes, oh, Pharaoh, let him go. And Pharaoh says, please, please. And he makes things worse. What do you think Moses is going to say now to God? God, why did you do this to me? Have you ever felt like that? You get saved or you do something for God. You do something good for God and stuff doesn't go right away. You go, God, why did you do that to me? Exactly what Moses did. Look what verse 22. Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? And why is it that you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered them at all. God, I don't get it. Say amen if you felt like you've done the right thing and God didn't do what you thought you were bargaining for as quick as you wanted. Say amen. Amen. Same thing. God, come on. I was down a shepherd man in the desert for four. I'm 80 years old. I don't need this hassle. Why'd you bring me up here? Why aren't you doing what you said? Well, remember we said God's ways are not our ways. Not only is his method not your method, his timing is not your timing. And the people he uses aren't the people you might use. God uses sometimes people we don't like to tell us stuff we don't want to hear. Like or he uses people we don't want to accept that we can be wrong, like our wife. God will tell us stuff through our wife. We're like, or husband, or children. Look what God's ways are not our ways. Now here's what I want you to set this up. You have to understand. Let me go back to the beginning. God's Bible is his unfolding plan of his story of redemption, his story of deliverance of oppressed people, spiritually oppressed. That applies to every human. In Genesis 1 and 2, he created the heavens and earth. He created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had no sin. They were going to live forever. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned. Thus the drama begins. And ever since they sinned, God's been unfolding a plan of redemption to restore his relationship with man as he had in the garden before sin. We are part of that plan because we're here today, and we have a responsibility to respond to the story. It's to realize that we're sinners, to realize that Jesus Christ has done an amazing thing for us and provide an opportunity for us to be delivered from the oppression and bondage of our own sinful nature. That's what the whole Bible is about. Every time you open the Bible, you are reading part of that story. And if you put it in that context, it'll make more sense to you. And so here, and then you have to understand this. Every story in the Bible, God put it in the Bible and worded it just the way we wanted. Even though you look at some of these stories, you can see evil things happening. People lying, cheating, stealing. People dying. People are going to die in this process. Jews are going to die in this process. These are real people dealing with real problems and a God intervening in their life in a real way. That's exactly what we deal with every day. This is all real life stuff. So God put this story in, and he had Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh. He knew Pharaoh was going to do what he did. And so God got it all set up. And that's why this next verse I love. Look what it says in chapter 6, verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1. After Moses says, God, why did you do this? You didn't deliver him? God, what is going on? Then the Lord says to Moses, now, everyone say now. Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let you go. And with a strong hand, he will drive you out. He will tell you, get out. Let me tell you something. God set it all up. You know why we complain so many times in our life? Is because we don't wait till the end of the story. We pray, stuff doesn't happen, and we, God says, wait till the end of the story. Think about the last time something happened to you didn't like. You got a flat tire, you lost your job, your girlfriend left you. At the time, it's painful. But then when you see the story unfold, God is always faithful. He's always faithful. And if you're saying, well, he wasn't faithful in this, well, you don't know the end of the story. He's always faithful. God says, oh, yeah, Pharaoh's going to do a bunch of more stuff, Moses. Wait till I'm done with the story. You got 10 plagues. You know why there's 10 plagues? It's because he wouldn't let you go after one. So that means 10 times. His head was hard. 10 times. Look in your notes. Deliverance depends on you relying on God's supernatural intervention. If God is going to deliver the Israelites, he was going to supernaturally intervene in their life. If God is going to deliver you from your sin, your perception of your independence, your perception of your self-reliance, your perception of your ability to take care of yourself. Some of you think, well, I can take care of myself. Well, how are you going to go to heaven on your own? Make your hair grow where you're going, bald or gray. Stop breathing for 3 hours. Don't go to the bathroom for 10 days. You can't take care of yourself. You can't control that stuff. You can't. When are you going to die? You don't know. You have no idea of the trillions and trillions of chemical reactions going on in your body right now. Not only do you not know what they are, you can't stop them or control them. There's so much we don't know. And God says, you have to trust me. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, I supernaturally cleanse your sin. I supernaturally begin a process to renew your mind. I supernaturally cleanse you of unrighteousness. I supernaturally choose to remember your sin no more. And I supernaturally blend together my eternal purpose for your life and your free will. How does that happen? I have no idea. Does he predestine us? Do we have a free will? They're both true. How do they work together? I have no idea. And it doesn't really matter. I don't know how air, oxygen goes through my lungs into the alveolar sacs and takes CO2 out of my blood and put oxygen in my blood. I know that it happens, but I have no idea how. So what do? I go, thank you, God. Yeah, I don't know. But by faith, I trust God. In a minute, we're going to pray. And you're going to have to trust God. God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that I was born in bondage, a sinner, just like every other human. I believe you died for my sin and rose from the dead supernaturally. I believe your promises to me are still hold true. And I believe that if I ask you to forgive me and surrender my life to you, you will forgive me and my life will change. And you will walk with me every step of the way, and I will begin to know you, understand who you are, experience you in a way I never had before. And I believe my life will be continually supernatural as long as I trust in you. And I believe what you have for me is better than what I got for myself. That's trusting God. And you have to participate. And when you accept Christ, you have to will, and yes, I am going to put my effort into it, and I am going to fight for this thing called salvation. I'm not just going to sit there and complain and whine every time something goes my way, because stuff won't go my way all the time. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for this story of deliverance. Moses, a man of God, questioning why, and you answering, watch. Watch what I do. Lord, there are people here today like the Israelites. They're in bondage to their sin. And today they want to be set free. They realize they're going to have to participate in this deliverance. They realize they're going to have to fight and sacrifice and trust and at times be uncomfortable. But they realize that the rewards are worth it. A relationship with you. If this morning you're saying, yes, God, here I am. I understand those things and I want to walk away from my bondage. I want to be forgiven, cleansed, and transformed this morning through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, just in the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer with me. Pray, dear God, please forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born all over again. I want to be delivered from my sin. Thank you, God. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you're saying, Jesus Christ, forgive me this morning, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And by standing, you are fighting against the devil saying, you don't have to stand. It's embarrassing. Let me tell you something. This is the one place you want to stand. Where people are going to cheer you, celebrate you. But by standing is your first step of faith to say, yes, I am going to fight. I'm going to fight to obey God. I'm going to go against my flesh telling me no, when my spirit's telling me yes. So as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, you're saying, yes, Lord, here I am. I surrender my life to you right now. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life this morning. God bless you. Stay standing, please. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you also. Good. Stay standing. Good. God, you are saying to God, God, here I am. Here I am. No shame, excited, forgiven, cleansed. Now I know I belong to you. Anybody else? God bless you. Good. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing, and there are several of you standing, as we welcome you to the family of God, as we celebrate your decision, celebrate your faith and your courage, we're going to ask you to step out of your seat and come down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Amen. They're right here. God bless you. 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 Say hi to each other. Say hi. God bless you. 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 Amen. God bless you. Can y'all slide down a little bit? God bless you. Who's the man this morning? God bless you. Keep sliding down. Can y'all slide down? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good, good. Hey, God bless you. All these women up here. The Bible says if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. That is not a trick. It is true. All your sin is forgiven, and you are going to be cleansed. That means that God is going to help you forget your sin. He's going to change the way you think and the things you desire supernaturally. You're going to go home and think, I don't want to do that anymore. How come? God's God. And those things are going to be very personal. You know, the things that he's going to tell you to do are not written in the Bible. He's not going to tell you, it's not written in the Bible, don't watch certain TV shows or say certain things. But it does say to obey God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to wonder, how do I know this stuff? God's speaking to you. It's supernatural. Amen. And in a minute, we're going to pray for you. Then we're going to have y'all go back and we're going to give you something. So we're going to have you, in a minute, lead us that way. And then from y'all over, y'all can go that way. And from you over, you're going to lead us back there in a minute. And then we need facilitators, people who can help us counsel these people. Next week, we're going to start in the plagues. There are 10 plagues. The reason why there's 10, there were 10 ways God wanted to show his power, and many of them were over the gods of the Egyptians. He wanted to show that he was stronger than everything they worshiped. The plan is very specific, and there's a lot of stuff that we worship in our life that God says, no, I'm better than that. The things that we idolize more than God, God wants to remove those things so we can know him, because he is better. He is. Amen. Let's pray for these peoples. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being God. Thank you that no one standing in this room in a pair of shoes is God. But we know you're here. You don't need shoes. The ground is holy. We thank you that you are God. You always have, you always will be, and you are now. You are the great I am, Jehovah God. Thank you. We pray you supernaturally rock these people's world. And when things happen, they don't expect it. They can just remind themselves, God's ways are not my ways. And the devil's mad, so I should expect it. But God is bigger, and he's going to get me through. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to ask you how to walk now. Just walk that way. Amen. If you're a facilitator, we need you to help us, please. Counsel these people. Thank you.